Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I started a series called Losing My Religion. So I'm doing Losing My Religion Part 2. And God gave me the scripture to kick off with this morning. He says in Isaiah 55 and verse, we'll start from verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. You know, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We sometimes get religious thinking in our head saying God will do this way, or God will do it that way. Or maybe it was that God did it like this last time, so he'll do it that way in the future. God's God. He can do whatever he pleases. Whenever you stick God out in the box, he's going to jump out. He's going to get out of that box. You can't stick God in a box. You can't put him in your own thinking and say, oh, well, that's how God works. Just read through the Old Testament and you'll see how many times God did things differently. Moses was told, go and strike the rock. No, strike the rock. He was told to strike the rock, and he struck the rock, and water came out. Then a second time, he was asked to speak to the rock. But Moses struck the rock the first time, so what did he do the second time? He did exactly what he'd done the first time, though that's not what he was told. There was a consequence for that. Water still came out of that rock. But God said, because you struck the rock the second time and didn't speak to it, you will not go into the kingdom. You will not go into the promised land. And Moses, as we read, didn't go into the promised land. He died beforehand. We've got to be careful not to get our religious thinking on and start thinking that God's going to do things the way he's always done them. Because he's not like that. He's a creative God. He's always creating something new. He's always doing something new. It doesn't matter if you've got a band of 50 people, you've got 3 people. God's still going to move. Because it's not about the numbers. It's never about the numbers. Ever. God will work with 1, he'll work with 101, he'll work with 10,001 or 1,000,001. God is not concerned about the numbers. That's our thinking, not his. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Jesus' day were so caught up in their religious thinking that they missed the day of their visitation. And we sometimes miss God because we're thinking one thing, but he's doing something else. The person next to you has been touched by God and you're sitting there thinking, what's going on? Many years ago, back in the 90s, before there was electricity, back in the 90s, we were having a revival and the Holy Spirit was so evident in a room that you could see it coming. The room would fall out like a wave going across the room. And we got so used to seeing it that we got used to seeing God move that way. And a few months in, God said to me, the moment they make a tradition from it, I'm out of here. And I went, what does that mean? And sure enough, some people started making a tradition of it. You know, you fall down this way, you fall down that way, or, you know, God's going to move like this or he's going to move like that. And the moment they did, it was like as if somebody unplugged the wall socket. Gone. We've got to be hungry just to follow after him. Regardless of what he's doing. Even if we don't get it. Even if it doesn't make sense to us, even if we're looking at that guy standing on his head saying, what are you doing? Don't fall into that trap of making a judgment call. Because when you got one finger pointing out, you've got three pointing back. It'll bite you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay open before God. Stay free. Free from your thinking. Free from your thoughts. Free from what other people might think. I don't care what people think. I'm not interested. I'm interested in them. I'm not interested in what they think about what God might be doing. I want to know what God is doing. I want to be in his face. I want to know about it. I know that's your heart as well. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 47, Jesus was calling the disciples. And the following day, Jesus went to Galilee and he found Philip and he said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Wyoming? Out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Wyoming? Philip said to him, come and see. See, Nathanael was well versed in the law. He was well versed in going off to his synagogue, his church, every Saturday, Friday evening, Saturday morning, every day he went. He was well versed in the scriptures, and nowhere did he ever hear that something was going to come out of Nazareth. So when Jesus came saying that he was Jesus of Nazareth, it flew straight in the face of the religious people and their thinking. Because everyone knew that the Messiah was to come out of Bethlehem. Everyone knew it. Jesus didn't come saying, I'm Jesus of Bethlehem. No. That wouldn't be like God. No, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. And he was telling the truth. He grew up in Nazareth. He just wasn't born there. sometimes God will come in a way that will just rattle our religious thinking. They thought that this can't be the Messiah because he's coming from Nazareth. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Only Nathanael knew that he was under a fig tree, probably praying. And Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi," or teacher, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus goes on to say, "You've seen nothing yet, mate." Isn't it amazing when a prophetic word comes from the mouth of God that it just makes you believe? You know that it came from God. It had to have come from God. And that one small prophetic word changed Nathanael's life forever. Jesus was always listening for what the Father was saying, and it was coming out of his mouth. When we prophetically speak to people, we need to make sure we're hearing from God. We don't always get it right. But our heart's desire is to hear the voice of God and speak it out through our mouth. Amen. Just to clarify what I said the other week, we should spend some time weighing up our religious traditions, convictions, dogmas and beliefs. I love to rattle people's religion. It's naughty, I know. But I do it. I can't help it. So the more religious someone is, the more I'm going to rattle their cage. Because it's not what God wants. God wants us to be free. And religion binds you. It binds you into a certain way of thinking, a certain way of acting, a certain way of being. And God wants you to be free. End of story. He wants you to be free. At the end of the Psalms, or many Psalms, it says Salah. The exact meaning of that word has been lost, even to ancient historians. But most of us sort of agree that it probably means stop and reflect on this. Not to be confused with the same similar Hebrew word, salah, which means rock. But salah, stop and think about this. Our faith in Christ cannot be set and forget. Well, that's what I learnt 30 years ago. That's what I'm speaking today. No. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we certainly stop and reflect. Are those things that I was taught back then, were they really true? Did I know enough of my word when I was first converted to know that those things were true or not? Do I know enough of the word now to know what God's saying? I've said it before, when I was first born again, I was told that you weren't even saved if you didn't speak in tongues. Is that true? Of course not. But when you're new in Christ and you don't know any better, and there are people that are older than you, a lot older than you, telling you that that's how it is, well, guess what? That's what you believe. I would go out in the street and I'd say, you've got to speak in tongues to be saved. And of course, I became a religious person. And I would go and I would debate on the street with the other religious people. And people would walk past us going, oh, some religious nuts over there talking about, oh, you know. I would be staunch, you know, and I've got friends of mine who are in all sorts of organisations and they've got all sorts of beliefs and, you know, I just love them. I don't get caught up in this point and that point and all that other stuff. I just want to bring the kingdom together. We are one people. We are one body. But we need to evaluate why we believe what we believe. There are fundamentals of our faith. Jesus Christ is Lord. Boom. He died on the cross. Rose from the dead on the third day. Now sits at the right hand of the Father. Ever making intercession for us. Everything else is up for debate. I have no problem with debating with people about Scripture. I have no problem with, you know, let's reason together, the Scriptures say. Baptism. Baptism's a fundamental of our faith. It is. We believe in baptism. If you've not been baptized, I'm more than happy to baptize you. Preferably not in winter. Every baptism I've done for some reason has been in winter. It's like Jesus saying, do you really love me? Do you really love me? Not in winter time, Lord. Do you really love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Or I send Diane to baptize him. Yeah. You know, I've led myself off track, sorry. So why do we believe what we believe? Are my religious traditions, convictions, dogmas and beliefs truths? Are they truths? Or are they just opinions? And you've heard my saying on opinions, they're like armpits, everyone has them and most of them stink. You know, are they my opinion or somebody else's? Is it from a book that I read? Oh, well, I read this book from John Bloggs and he says, yeah, but what does the Word say? What does God say? And particularly, what does Jesus say? If he doesn't talk about a particular point, it's probably not worth talking about. Can I clearly back up what I believe from what Jesus taught from the Scripture? Can I back it up? Do I know where he said that? Now, I'm not saying that everyone needs to be a scholar. You don't. But we do need to have his word in us. Otherwise, we can be prone to error. Amen? And we do want to stay with God. Is there more than a single example of this belief in Scripture? A number of years ago, I was in a church organization that read the Scripture out of Hebrews, I think it's 6 verse 4, where it says, if you willfully sin after you come to the knowledge of God, there is therefore no more forgiveness of sin. right? That's one scripture. One scripture. So that's what they said. That's what it does say. But they took that one scripture to mean that if anybody made any mistakes after they came to Christ, that's it. Kick them out of the church. They're no longer saved. It's crazy stuff. It's one scripture. Does the rest of the scripture back up that thought? No. Is God ever merciful? Is he ever willing to forgive us? Does it say that in scripture? Yes, it does. Does it say it more than once? Yes, it does. Do you catch what I'm saying? If you read something in scripture, if it's not backed up more than once, leave it alone. It's either the translation is incorrect or our understanding of that translation is incorrect. Are my religious traditions, convictions, dogmas and beliefs following the teachings of Jesus and the apostles? Or the traditions of men and religion? Or is it of humanism? The religion of science? They've got faith. It's just in what they can observe or calculate. Humanism is a philosophical and ethical stance that emphasizes the value and agency of human beings, individually and collectively, and generally prefers critical thinking and evidence, rationalism and empiricism, over acceptance or of dogma or superstition. So people who are humanists believe that we're just superstitious. Until you ask them, so what was before the Big Bang? They go, well, there was nothing. That's exactly what the Bible says. Yeah. They believe something. Came out of nothing. Now we believe the same thing. We're on the same page. From that we can speak. In the beginning, there was God. And the heavens and the earth were void and without form. There was nothing. And then, you know the rest. God's spirit moved over the waters. And he said, let there be light. And then there was a big bang. It doesn't matter. Just a thought. Are my religious traditions, convictions, dogmas and beliefs blinding me from seeing truth? How do they help me see truth? How would I know if they were not? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? How would I know if what I believe is leading me down the garden path? You know what I've found? I've found that God works a little bit like this. If you've got a certain way of thinking, God will send one of his children, one of his sons and daughters, to talk to you. And they'll talk to you and you'll ignore them. Then another one of his sons and daughters will come and talk to you and you'll ignore them. Then he'll go and speak to somebody in the world and they'll come and talk to you and you'll ignore them as well. And eventually you reach the point where that Mack truck comes past and smacks you. And you normally go, I didn't see that coming. We're all there. We're all there. I can't tell you how many times I've been bowled over by the Mack truck. And going, okay, all right. What was that again, Lord? Can you just remind me? Yeah, it's the way it is. And we're all the same. We all get stuck in our thinking. We all think that we're right. Two Gun Crowley, 1920. He's in a shootout with the New York police. Rat-a-tat-tat. And he's over the top, shooting back. He gets shot in the shoulder. He sits down, grabs a pen and paper, and he writes, Two Gun Crowley, a man with a heart of gold, would never do anybody harm. This man just murdered a policeman 24 hours before. Everyone thinks they're right. Everyone thinks that they're the good guy. Everyone's the hero in their own story. And we are all the same. So when God does bail us up, we've got to stop and think, God, please correct my thinking. Give me your thoughts. Give me your ways. Show me your ways, Lord. Used to be an old song. Show me your ways. Do anyone remember that? That I may walk with you. I love that song. Show me your ways, Lord. You know, we miss stuff so much. I'm walking through the train, running for the train yesterday afternoon. We're running for the train. The train drives off. A guy bumps into me, turns around, takes a swing at me. I block him and I said, go away. Not nicely. I didn't use that word. I said, go away. Later on, God spoke to me and he said, you know, that guy had mental illness and he needed prayer. Oops. I missed an opportunity to reach somebody for God because they bumped into me. He did take a swing at me, but, you know, I missed the opportunity. How many opportunities are we missing? Because we're just in our own thinking. We're racing for the train. We're late for work. We've just kicked the cat on the way out. We've had a fight with the spouse. The kids have been at our throat. You know how it goes with kids at your throat, you know. Best way to learn patience, have children. Best way to learn how not to be all about me, have kids. It won't be all about you anymore. We're missing God's opportunities so many times because we're too busy. Keep your eye open for God's opportunities. If I were to stand before Jesus and had to explain what I believe, oh man, how do you think he'd respond? Well done, good and faithful servant. Or get away from me, you who practice lawlessness. We've got to be willing to listen. Otherwise we become lawless. We become without God's voice in our life. And we can think all we like that we're right. But I tell you, when you stand before God, it'll mean nothing. Not one iota that you thought you were right. Well, I believe this, Lord. Yeah, but I told you to do that. We don't want to be those people, amen? We want to be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did good. You heard my voice and you acted on it. Would we consider ourselves modern-day Pharisees and Sadducees? Or modern-day philosophers? I was speaking to a young man the other day and he was telling me how he's learning philosophy. I said, oh, that's nice. Many great words have been said. Even Buddha said, with my thoughts I create the world. It's a nice thing to say. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now, if that had been anyone else saying that, that would have sounded terribly arrogant. But this was God in the flesh, directing people back to himself. An amazing thing. So let me finish here. When was the last time you evaluated what you believe? Or do you believe it's just set and forget? Or is it, well, that's just what I believe? Are we stuck in our thinking? Are we stuck in the way that we were 10 years ago? Are we stuck in the way we were 20 years ago or a year ago? We are supposed to be going from glory to glory, becoming more like Christ every day that we walk forward. If you make a mistake, pick yourself up, dust yourself up, say, I'm sorry, I'll try to do better. Forget it and move on. Or is it, well, that's just what I was taught and I'm sticking with that. We've all been taught stuff. We've all believed stuff that, you know, has not been helpful for building God's kingdom. I don't know about you, but I'm a kingdom builder. His will be done. His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's my desire. I can't wait for Jesus to be here. Yeah. I'm excited for his kingdom to be fully established upon the earth. And I'm going to do everything I can to make that a reality. I want him to show up and walk over to me and say, Keith, mate, it's all done. Good job. Isn't that a different way of thinking? Many people think that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. God's got to come and rip us out so that we don't all get killed. No, we're going to take over the planet.
That's right.
We're going to rule and reign with Christ.
Yeah.
His kingdom come. It will be done.
Yes.
I'm backing down from the fight. We're into it. I read the end of the book. We win. Amen. God bless you, church. I hope that just was a bit of food for thought. You know, just think about what you believe and why you believe it. Evaluate it regularly. You know, it's like taking your vitamins. Do it regularly. It's good for you. It's good to rethink about things. Why do I believe that? Why do I have that sort of attitude? Why do I do that? Even in your personal life, there'll be things that you think that are just wrong. They're just out there. There's something that your mum taught you, or your dad taught you, or granddad taught you, grandma taught you. You know, and it's not helpful. It's not building. It's not building your life, and it's not building those around you. Get rid of those things that aren't helpful. Grab onto those things that are. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word that brings light to our life, that brings hope into our soul, that gives us right thinking, that helps us to straighten ourselves up when we get lost, when we err from the path, Lord God, when we get lost and we just don't know where we're going, we can come back to your word and we can receive from you revelation of how to walk with you, how to have your love in our hearts, how to have your thoughts in our mind, how to have your words on our lips. Father, we pray for the salvation of Wyong. We pray, Father, for souls to be saved. We ask you, Lord God, to move by your Spirit across the whole of the Central Coast, that this would become the Bible Belt of Australia. Father, we pray, Lord God, that every church on the Central Coast that believes in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, Lord, would be upheld, would be strengthened, would build in the name of Jesus. We declare, Father, that the good things that they are doing, that they would do even more. Father, we pray for those who are doing good things in this church. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Father, we pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would go forth across the whole of Australia and that there would be a revival. We pray for the awakening, Father. We pray for awakening, that there would be a move of your Spirit in Melbourne. Father God, we just pray, Lord God, the hedge of protection around those leaders who are looking after that, Father. We pray, Father, for all the churches that are involved, and we particularly pray for all the people that are going. You'd protect them, you'd guide them, you'd lead them, that there would be a revival begun out of this thing, that there would be a true awakening into Australia. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. And we thank you for what you've done for us here at Central Life. We thank you so much for its people. We thank you for this body of believers, these living stones who are working out in their lives your very salvation and the salvation of their lives and the lives of everyone they touch. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.